The next case, if the clerk will please announce who will be arguing today.
Be in peace and court, Ms. Valletta Pascascini, pro se, Mr. Peter Laurie to argue for the appellate.
All right. Is it Pascascini?
Pascascini.
Oh, that's too difficult for me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May please the court. I made an oral argument handout, which is subdivided into six steps. So each step consists of standard for review, clerk's record, and reporter's record.
All right, we have received those. We obviously haven't had time to look at those, but you may refer to it occasionally.
I'm going to walk you through that.
I believe counsel has received his copy. Is that correct? But you just received it this morning as well?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
So because this is the case, obviously the case, so we're going to have to walk through the handout. And if you look, please, at the first step corresponds to the first issue that the district court heard in denying jury trial to me. I believe that I properly requested trial by jury because the the trial de novo can be conducted two ways, by substantial evidence rule and by preponderance of evidence rule. And here is the standard section of 2001-176 of Texas statute, a government code. And also, I have a printout from the Matthew Bender, which clearly describes the judicial review by trial de novo, that this is another way of reviewing cases for unemployment insurance benefits. If the party can show in their original petition that the agency's decision was not was actually made without regard to law. And that Texas Workforce Commission acted beyond its statutory authority, what I showed in my original petition, in attaching all the exhibits to the petition and pointing the court that I was denied a constitutional due process rights when I was not allowed to testify on my behalf and I was not permitted to submit an evidence which was relevant to the case.
But let me ask one question. Didn't you also file a motion for summary judgment in the trial court?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
yes.
And so you attached evidence to your motion for summary
That's
judgment.
That's correct, okay. Yes.
So you asked for relief by summary judgment instead of a jury trial, just like the other side did. In other words, a summary judgment motion says I don't need a trial because I can pursue it on these pleadings and my evidence. So you had the opportunity to file that, right?
I filed a motion for summary judgment, and I attached all the exhibits that were my exhibits submitted to Texas Workforce Commission during all the administrative proceedings. And I was attempting to show the court that all these documents, they are in certified TWC record, but they at no time they were considered as an evidence. Because if Texas Workforce Commission would have admitted all the evidence of both sides, then the decision would be different. Because the record was, clearly showing that I was not fired for misconduct, that I was terminated, that the employer had intent to terminate me for different reasons. And at the time of termination, I was under doctor's care. So he was provided with all that information, and he knew that I'm sick. He knew that he needed to pay me for that week of being under doctor's care. And there were other issues surrounding my termination when I complained to my employer that I did not have position description for 9 months of my employment. And I complained about the LAAP manager's misconduct when he attached the reports that were not reviewed to the entire packet. So going back to the first point of error, I attached a couple cases. One is Public Utility Commission of Texas versus City of Corpus Christi, and another Key Western Life Insurance Company, which clearly state that the action by trial de novo must be tried, has all the attributes of original action in trial court as any other civil suit would have, including jury trial demand. So next is the case Instant Photo versus Texas Employment Commission, where also the Court of Appeals reversed and remanded decision because the court limited its review to administrative record made by commission or before commission. So next is a clerk's record. I filed a motion asking to overrule defendant's objections to my request to jury trial and clearly stated all the reasons why it had to be overruled and supported by argument and authorities saying that in cases like mine, trial de novo by preponderance of evidence would be a proper method of review. So I believe that this legal research provides that that should be a way how to try the case before the district court. We also had a hearing, so next is excerpt from the reporter's record. And this record shows on page 11 that I asked the court, you know, that I told the judge that please can I submit the argument, can I submit the cases and show that I am entitled to trial by jury, that I properly requested. I did not request the review by substantial evidence rule that the defendant was arguing I did. And the judge said, no, ma'am, we don't have time. I'm not going to take time for that now. That's page 11, lines 1-4. So and they overruled my objection. Next, what happened that the employer jointly with Texas Workforce Commission filed the motion for summary judgment. And I filed a motion for summary judgment, and I filed a motion in opposition to the appellee's motion for summary judgment. And, oh, I'm sorry, I missed one point, which was the court or deciding that TWC submitted responses to my requests for admission, and they were timely served. I think that the law is very straightforward. It says that response or objection must be served within 30 days. It doesn't say that it must be served within 31 or 32 days, and the record shows that there is one case which is standard for review, and this is tab 2. And another case that I use citing in my brief and in original pleadings with the district court, which is Rent of America versus Amarillo National Bank. And they also saying that when the bank did not respond to their request within 30 days after its receipt, the matter were deemed admitted by operation of law. And they are pointing at the first case, which is set as a standard. And this case is David Cody versus Clayton. So in the reporter's record, you can see that I pointed to the court that I served the requests for admissions on February 7 by facsimile, and the fax has been sent from Workforce Solutions. That's page 142. So it has been served on February 7. Their response was due on March 8. And the certificate of service that Texas Workforce Commission served the requests on the 9th day of March is attached. So I have no further comments. Their response was due on 8th. So next we can proceed with the standard for review for the summary judgment. There is one leading case, Nixon versus Property Management Company, where the, I believe, Supreme Court of Texas clearly set the standards for the district courts. And it says that whether there is a disputed material fact issue precluding summary judgment, the evidence in non-movement's favor should be considered. If we would look at the reporter's record at the tab 3, page 5, line 17 through 21, number 1, microconsult made a statement that it is not opposed to my unemployment and that they agreed to change the reason for my termination to reduction in force. So I guess that's the first, you know, important material issue fact that the court had to determine. When they asked the defendant, well, does this change TWC position in this matter in any way? They said, no, Your Honor, we're still going to defend our position. And later on, I was attempting to show the court that the documents that I attached to my motion for summary judgment are the documents that were submitted to Texas Workforce Commission as early as in March of 2011 during the determination of initial claim, and that I provided them with all the emails, communication with my employer, where I stated about those facts that I didn't have position description, that there was misconduct of somebody of the management, you know, behalf, and that these things could not happen. And that clearly showed that the employer had intention to terminate me, or honestly, for my complaints. And when I got sick on March 7, and provided employer with the emails. I sent him emails stating that what happened and that I'm sick and the doctor excused me for an entire week. Next day, they terminated me. There was never, ever any discussion about that there was a poor performance or any warnings or reprimands. My performance review was good. It's also attached in this handout, and it's attached 2 pages with the management comments. Texas Workforce Commission, they stated, that's page 17, reporter's record, that the evidence attached to her summary judgment is not a summary judgment evidence because it's not authenticated by affidavit and is hearsay within hearsay. All the evidence had been authenticated by affidavit because a certified Texas Workforce Commission record had an affidavit stating that this is true and correct record of this agency. So I supported that, you know, by my own affidavit and with the affidavit of the custodian of records for the agency. So the judge should have overruled their objections. It's my understanding. And second thing, which I cannot understand, let's say I was present when there was a hearing on another case where employer was suing Texas Workforce Commission because they fired employee who violated company policies. And they filed a motion for summary judgment, but there was a hearing before the court. So the cases clearly state that the evidence must be admitted before the court, regardless of the record created by agency. That didn't happen in my case. Also, it looks that judge was not familiar with another document, which was my motion in opposition to defendant's motion, summary judgment, which also had a excerpt from the administrative hearings where the employer's witnesses clearly stated there was nothing intentional, there were errors or oversights. There was no evidence ever submitted that I did something intentionally, committed any misconduct, was reprimanded or anything like that. So the judge should have questioned himself. Well, it seems that TWC decision is not supported by substantial evidence. So why would he grant the motion for summary judgment? To me, it's a clear error.
All right, Ms. Peskinski, your 15 minutes time is up. You will be given a 5-minute rebuttal after Appley makes his arguments.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Laurie.
Chief Justice Livingston, Justice Gabriel, Justice Meyer, good morning. May it please the court, Assistant Attorney General Peter Laurie, appearing on behalf of the Texas Workforce Commission. Your Honors, this appeal raises 3 points of error. First, appellant contends that the trial court erred in granting the TWC's motion for summary judgment. Second, that the trial court erred in setting this matter for a bench trial. And third, that the trial court erred in denying her motion to have her request for admissions deemed admitted. Because the trial court did not err in any of these points raised, the Texas Workforce Commission asked this court to overrule each point. The TWC is entitled to this relief because, as to the first point, the trial court properly granted the Texas Workforce Commission's motion for summary judgment because substantial evidence supports that decision. As to the second point, the trial court properly struck this matter from its jury docket because this case presented a question of law only. Also, that issue is immaterial, and as Justice Livingston pointed out, appellant waived any objection to that when she filed her own motion for summary judgment. And as to the third point, the trial court properly denied appellant's motion to have her request for admissions deemed admitted because the Texas Workforce Commission timely responded to those requests. Your Honors, I'm going to start with the trial court's order granting the Texas Workforce Commission's motion for summary judgment. As I mentioned, the Texas Workforce Commission asked this court to affirm the trial court. Under Section 212.202 of the Texas Unemployment Compensation Act, courts review a Texas Workforce Commission decision regarding a claim for unemployment benefits, such as the one on review, under the substantial evidence trial de novo standard of review. The Supreme Court in Brinkmeyer explained that the role of the court conducting a substantial evidence review is not to review an administrative decision for its correctness, but for its reasonableness. With that framework in mind, this court finds that the challenged decision was reasonable based on the available evidence. That's all that's required to overrule appellant's first point of error. Your Honors, the Texas Workforce Commission held that appellant was not qualified to receive unemployment benefits under Section 207.044 of the Texas Unemployment Compensation Act. It based that decision on, that decision was made on because her former employer discharged her for misconduct connected with the work. This ruling is consistent with the definition of misconduct in the Texas Labor Code. Section 201.012 defines misconduct, and we cited in our brief. Substantial evidence supports the Texas Workforce Commission decision that that appellant's former employer discharged her for misconduct connected with the work. Specifically, three of appellant's former supervisors provided affidavits showing that she knowingly failed to review tests for accuracy before signing off that she reviewed the reports in their entirety. The documents presented to the Texas Workforce Commission and to the trial court further support this testimony.
What effect, if any, is there that MicroConsult changed her reason for termination and no longer opposed her unemployment benefits claim?
There's no effect on this case, Your Honor. The reason is because that was in connection with an appeal in a federal case in which the Texas Workforce Commission was not involved. As part of that, I'm sorry, not appeal, settlement in a separate case. As part of that settlement agreement, as I understand it, MicroConsult agreed that should someone call to inquire about her employment, they will say that it was because of a reduction in force. But let me just take a step back too. That doesn't change this court's role and the TWC's role in administering the Texas Unemployment Compensation Act. The TWC has to look at every case and apply it according to the standards set out in the Texas Unemployment Compensation Act. If an individual is discharged for misconduct under those definitions, it doesn't matter whether or not the employer thinks that she should get benefits. All that matters in that determination is whether or not that she was discharged for misconduct, and if so, the TWC has to find that she was disqualified, and that's what happened here, Your Honor.
On that same area of questioning, I'm looking at a document attached to the appellant's amended brief, which is under tab number G, which is a few pages from what's called a confidential settlement agreement and mutual release. Now, I know you've seen that.
I haven't seen that, Your Honor. That was never admitted at the trial court level.
Well, I understand. You saw that when it was attached to her brief, though, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
All right. And this thing appears to be dated July the 12th of 2012. So the change of position about the reason for her leaving the employment was reflected by this compromise settlement agreement within the federal court case that dealt with a change of the reason to be a reduction in workforce. After the last hearing in the Texas Workforce Commission appeals process was conducted, if I understand it, on October 6, 2011.
That's correct, Your Honor. Part of that agreement, though, was in the when they read into the record, or when MicroConsult's attorney mentioned into the read into the record or summarized it for the court during the motion for summary judgment hearing. He did say that should they be called, the MicroConsult's witnesses be called to testify, they would
testify to consistent the truth.
To the truth, correct. So the settlement agreement.
Wondering what the truth was, why I'm asking you about it.
I'm sorry that I missed your question, Your Honor. I apologize for that.
Well, the truth was during the period of time from all the proceedings before the Workforce Commission, the reason for unemployment was misconduct.
That's correct, Your Honor. At every stage of the TWC proceedings, MicroConsult submitted evidence to the Texas Workforce Commission that it discharged her because she knowingly falsified company documents. The affidavits that we submitted in connection with our motion for summary judgment were consistent with that position.
And there wasn't any reason for the people to further testify because all the testifying was over.
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
And just to take a quick step back, the Texas Workforce Commission's role, obviously, is to administer the Texas Unemployment Compensation Act and determine whether or not individuals are qualified for unemployment benefits. It decides that based on applying the definition of misconduct that we cited in our brief. In order to sort of flesh out the definition of misconduct, the Texas Workforce Commission has published the Policy and Precedent Manual. It gives in there real-world examples of what constitutes misconduct. We cite a few of those in our briefs, but some of the examples cited in the Policy and Precedent Manual show that submitting a falsified record to one's employer constitutes misconduct and is disqualifying under the TWC precedents. Also, the precedents we cite establishes that an employee commits misconduct if they perform their duties in a way that endangers others. I submit to the court that given the appellant's job duties, she was to review tests that were used by consumers. Therefore, it was important that to ensure that the tests were accurate in order to protect the safety of the consumers. So there's really the one act constitutes two types of misconduct according to the Policy and Precedent Manual. It's the same act, but according to the definitions of misconduct as fleshed out in the Policy and Precedent Manual, she would be disqualified under both approaches. The evidence establishes a pattern of misconduct as defined by the Labor Code and the relevant Texas Workforce Commission's precedents. As such, the Texas Workforce Commission's decision is reasonable and supported by substantial evidence. The trial court properly affirmed that decision, and this court should overrule appellant's first point of error. Just briefly, appellant's disagreement with the Texas Workforce Commission's findings does not mean there's no evidence to support those findings. A court has to uphold the Texas Workforce Commission if the decision is reasonable, even if it might have reached a different conclusion. Appellant contends that the reason for her discharge was not her misconduct, but for other reasons. She said that it was because she complained to her former employer. She said that it was because of a medical condition, and now today she says it was because of a reduction in force. Appellant's disagreement with the Texas Workforce Commission's findings does not negate those findings. Perhaps reasonable minds could differ as to the reason for her discharge, but I submit that a reasonable mind could conclude that she did admit to falsifying documents, and we have submitted the affidavits that support that. She has never completely refuted those affidavits. The evidence of appellant's misconduct has been consistent throughout the administrative process and at the trial court level. Because credible, consistent evidence establishes appellant's misconduct, this court should affirm the trial court's decision and overrule appellant's first point of error. Just briefly on the other two issues. Appellant was not entitled to a jury trial. Broadly speaking, because the case law interpreting the substantial evidence rule states clearly that there's only a question of law before the court. As a result, there's no factual determination for a jury to make, and in fact, a trial court submits reversible error if they submit a case such as this one to a jury. The other issues, too, this issue is immaterial because the trial court resolved it on summary judgment, and she waived any objection to that by submitting her own motion for summary judgment. Third issue, appellant argues that the Texas Workforce Commission's responses to her request for admissions were late, and therefore should be deemed admitted. She's incorrect. Appellant served her discovery after 5 p.m. on February 7. Service was therefore complete on February 8th, as she served by fax. Adding the 3 days under Rule 21A, the Texas Workforce Commission had until March 12th to respond to her discovery, and it responded by March 9th. Therefore, it was timely, and this court should overrule her third point of error. Your Honors, in conclusion, the TWC respectfully asks this court to overrule appellant's first point of error because substantial evidence supports the Texas Workforce Commission's decision. Overrule appellant's second point of error because this case presented a question of law only, and therefore she wasn't entitled to a jury trial, or refuse to consider that issue because it's immaterial and appellant waived it by filing her own motion for summary judgment. And finally, overrule appellant's third point of error because the trial court properly denied her motion to have her request for admissions deemed admitted because the TWC timely responded to those requests. Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. Laurie. Ms. Pescunzi.
I'm going to ask this court to sustain my points of error because I have clear understanding that trial de novo is conducted by preponderance of evidence rule. And also in regards to requests for admission deemed to be admitted, they had 30 days to respond. The fax was sent before 5 p.m. The error in fax machine settings does not reflect that in any way, does not change the matter. Now it's time to rebut Mr. Peter Laurie's statement that TWC properly terminated me because of misconduct, because this is not true. If you would please look at the tab 4, there are cases attached which are discussing standard for misconduct. Not every violation of employer's policy is considered to be misconduct, number one. The first case, Texas Employment Commission versus Douglas Torvik, clearly states what is misconduct. We know what the definition of labor code says, what is misconduct. But also the court reviewed all the paragraphs that would be fitting in that definition of misconduct, and only number 3 and 4 actually are considered to be misconduct because they require intentional state of mind. Also, in another case, which is Kellum versus Texas Workforce Commission, the court clearly stated that to be misconduct, the policy violated by the employee must fit into narrow statutory definition, which says the rule adopted to ensure the orderly work and safety of employees. And it's also clearly stated in Texas Labor Code paragraph, same paragraph that Mr. Peter Lorry cited. Also, another case, City of Houston versus Tippi, describes that the statute limits misconduct to the violation of the rule or policy adopted to ensure the orderly work and safety of employees. All other, definitions, they simply do not fall under that, decision to disqualify a person. It could be a violation of the policy, but it does not qualify to deny the person of unemployment insurance benefits. And Texas Workforce Commission decision was not supported by substantial evidence that I committed any misconduct. In their brief, you may look at the exhibits attached. You may ask them where they to point at those documents. They are saying that I falsified the documents, but there are no documents to be falsified. They did not submit any documents, any reports that have been falsified. And in their motion for summary judgment, they only relying on affidavits. On nothing else. They don't have an evidence, so they're relying on affidavits. By the way, that testimony is also not transcribed. So they just attaching affidavits, and being not a lawyer, I did not know by the time that I have to object that. That was clearly a hearsay. That wasn't an evidence at all. I also attached the portions of the record which was a motion in opposition to defendant's motion for summary judgment, where all these points have been addressed, how the court could possibly overlook. They did not look at the cases. They did not look what is considered to be misconduct, but in fact deprives the person of unemployment insurance benefits. And also under substantial evidence rule, the TWC rulings should be overruled when in those situations when the decision is made either without regards to the law or can be described as arbitrary and capricious. In my case, at no point during all three hearings, I was allowed to testify or introduce my documents into evidence. How could be their decision considered differently than, in violation of their own rules, statute, and other than arbitrary and capricious. And keeping in mind that my constitutional due process rights were violated, the court has to ask the question, why? Why my evidence was not admitted into record? Would that change the decision, the outcome? So obviously, Texas Workforce Commission's decision was not supported by substantial evidence because there is nothing in the record as cited in those cases that are attached in the handout. In those situations where there was no record of any kind of disciplinary conduct, in those situations where the definition misconduct did not fit in that narrowly construed definition of described by Act and Congress, the findings should be overruled. And I'm asking the court to sustain at least the point of error where TWC findings were not supported by substantial evidence actually, I don't know what's the correct word, remand?
Right. All right. Well, we thank you for your argument. Ms. Piskenski and Mr. Laurie, we appreciate your arguments. We appreciate your briefing, and your case is submitted today. You all are now excused. We will take a short recess before taking up a 10:30 case.
All right.